Happy to be joined now by Therese Paylor, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Therese, thanks for doing this. Yeah, the dynasty of the Ravens and the Browns in the preseason, it continues to reign.
Yeah, you know what? It's the NFL's favorite subplot of the preseason. You got to love it, especially with the Browns. They've had so much success in the preseason. They can't do it when the games matter, though.
Yeah, I love it. It is good. Hey, enjoy it, Browns. It's good. It's a good time for you. They're like, all of our quarterbacks are good, and everyone's contributing. I was like, yep, this will be great. Enjoy. Have a fun time. Same with the Bills. They were like, oh, all three of our quarterbacks look good. I was like, uh-huh. No, I'm sure it will look this way come regular season. We debated yesterday. Who did we have on? I can't remember. Yeah, it was Dan Graziano. We were debating with him about what the merit of preseason is, and he believes that preseason should just be completely abolished. And while I think they probably don't need 4 weeks of preseason football or even maybe 3 weeks of preseason football, I think that we saw a couple of things as to why there is some merit to it. But I don't think there was anything more important yesterday than the way Andrew Luck carried himself at the beginning of that Seahawks game. And I know that we probably tend to read too much into this, and we were going to anyways, but what did you make of his body language and the way that he took a hit and just the way that he was acting with his teammates on the field, on the sideline in that Seahawks game? Did you take anything away from that?
Well, first of all, I would agree with you. Let's get rid of the preseason. The best thing in the world is when college football starts, just games. No preseason, just not just college football, jump right into games. The first week of September. So, yeah, I agree with that. What you can do with these games, though, is just look and get a general sense for guys, how guys carry themselves. And I was recently at the Colts camp, and they're certainly very excited about how Luck looks because he looks normal. His mechanics are on point. The ball's coming out of his hand with a lot of strength, and I think he saw a lot of the same things last night. You know, it's not just one hit he's going to have to take. It's multiple. But I will say this. We know he has a very physical style of playing quarterback, but one thing I think the Colts are going to do to try to reduce that pounding is get the football out quick. Frank Reich believes in that, their new head coach. And I think that's going to give Andrew Luck a better chance staying healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a real thing that we can take away from preseason if Andrew Luck is able to get out of it fully healthy, because we know how good he can be. I don't know how real any of the results from the rookie quarterbacks, I mean, what that means. It's nice to see the arm of Josh Allen, and sure, Baker Mayfield looked pretty good, but like how do we evaluate that? What do you do with the information you got from those two guys yesterday?
I mean, honestly, you want to make sure. I mean, there's some inside football things you can look for, and I'm just the man to tell you what they are. I mean, you're looking to make sure that they're getting these plays out quick. So when they get to the line of scrimmage, you're looking for the comfort. You're trying to make sure they've got a lot of time left on the play clock when they get out of the huddle, because if they don't, that means the quarterback's not spitting them out cleanly, which still happens because they don't know these playbooks. And some playbooks have a little bit more verbiage than others. And they're executing against really base, simple defensive concepts, right? Cover one, cover two man, cover three. You know, and they're running base offensive concepts against things that should be able to beat this stuff in general, unless they've got the perfect play call on. There's not exotic blitzes. There's not, like, a lot of stuff that, you know, that will mess up a rookie quarterback. So, honestly, you're looking to see commando huddle. You're looking to see them get to the line of scrimmage with plenty of time left on the play clock, because it shows command of the offense. And you're looking to see, you know, pocket poise, ball placement, and the ability to beat pretty basic defenses. I will be honest with you. When I see rookie quarterbacks struggling in the preseason, it's not the end of the world, but it's something I kind of think about and go like, maybe this guy's not ready yet, because it only gets harder from here.
Well, especially since, yeah, usually those rookie QBs, and this year I think every single one of them has faced either a second string or third string defense, guys that aren't even going to be on an NFL roster come the regular season. So, like, we were enamored by Josh Allen's arm yesterday. The guy just slings it down the field. He can throw it 60 yards without seemingly even stepping into the football, throwing it off his back heel. That was impressive. And it actually, like, I hate to be this reactionary, but if your quarterbacks are Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron, I don't really see the case for why you wouldn't start Josh Allen unless it's a complete disaster for him in the preseason. Like, if he shows me that, for a couple more games. I don't know what the argument is for the other guys. So I guess I'm asking you, how many of these rookie QBs would you start in week one? Not could you see, but like if it was up to you, who do you think is ready and who do you think should be starting ahead of the guy that's already there?
I mean, that's hard to say without getting a chance to watch all those guys in every practice, right? But yeah. I thought Rosen was the most pocket-ready passer in the draft. I think he could play as a rookie this year, and you'd be reasonably happy with the results. I felt good about that. I don't think Jackson's necessarily ready. I think the verbiage is something that he's getting comfortable with and the footwork as well. Here I go answering the question you asked me. Let me think. Darnold, I think his footwork's a train wreck. I think he needs to work on that. I really like him, though. I like the physicality and the moxie and the poise. I think that's going to carry him a long way. Mayfield has the moxie and the poise and the touch to play, but I didn't like that one scene where it didn't seem like in the Hard Knocks where it didn't seem like he was getting up early to work. That's not a great sign for a rookie. And your guy, Allen. Listen, the arm strength is great. That was 60 yards, and you need that in Buffalo. But playing quarterback's about a lot more than having an absolute hose. You know, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm afraid that one play where he was scrambling around and that awful-looking little broken play he had is going to be more of the norm. He has major accuracy issues. He has some poise issues, and playing football and playing quarterback in the NFL is about anticipation. Having that kind of gun means nothing if you don't throw with the anticipation and you don't put it where it needs to be. And it's more than putting it accurate. It's about putting it in places where only your receiver can get it and putting it in places that doesn't get him lit up. I think Josh Allen has a chance to be a terrific quarterback. But I think he's got major strides he needs to make as far as throwing with anticipation, throwing with accuracy. And if he's not accurate in this league, that arm strength's not going to matter. That just means it's going to get to the other team faster. So if he doesn't start, that's the reason why. Command of the playbook as well. That said, you can make a case for someone like Peterman, someone like McCarron, because I guarantee you right now, those guys have command of that playbook. They know what to call, and both of those guys actually do throw with anticipation. Their problem is the arm talent isn't anywhere close to Allen's. The good news is that you have time with Allen. I just hope they don't rush him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm the opposite, though, because I want to see him rushed for the reason of you're never going to have less pressure on this player than now. And like the wins and losses aren't going to matter for you. And if you need Josh Allen to get reps at a high level or to figure out some of those accuracy issues, let him run the first team offense in practice. Let him get as many reps as possible. Let him play, because that Bills offensive line is not a disaster. That's my only thing with rookie quarterbacks is don't have the David Carr scenario where he's getting beat up so badly that his eye level starts to change early in his career. But I just don't think guys, like, find out what you have in this player. Like, find out as early as you can. Let him get the reps when they're meaningless. And like, what's the point of punting on his developmental time for a guy like Peterman, who isn't going to have, I don't think anyways, anywhere close to the type of future Josh Allen can have?
Oh, well, I got the answer for you.
Hit me.
Because he might not be ready to do it. What you're looking for is a guy that's just not going to be able to play it capably. You're looking for a guy that can play it well. And the more confidence he could build on the second team, having a full year to digest the playbook, and more importantly, giving the staff time to see what he can do, puts him in a better position to have immediate success, like a Tom Brady. Like most of the quarterbacks that end up being good, to be honest. It's hard to come back from having a hard debut. How many years did it take Alex Smith to do that, for instance? And I'll also tell you this. I hear you on the point of wanting to see what he can do. But you can do that in year two, in year three, then make a decision on the fifth-year option. With 2 full years of that guy as a starter, it doesn't have to be three. I'd rather go all in year two and three, knowing he had every advantage, knowing he wasn't rushed, and knowing that he had a command of what he could do. Plus, the staff, after working with him for 14-plus months, had an even better idea of what he could do than just throw him out there for the sense of, okay, let's just throw him out there. Let's see what we got. You know, that is not the ideal way to bring a quarterback along. And I say this, who's to say that he can't play later in the season?
Josh
Allen wouldn't be hurt by playing the last three games, the last two games. But what I wouldn't go doing is starting him from day one if that guy's not ready. And there are reasons to think he's not ready.
Yeah, it's hard to look at the two quarterbacks ahead of him and say, well, it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation where he's going to learn behind those guys. Neither McCarron nor Peterman are established in this league, of course, and Peterman had the horrible debut.
And Allen has less of a track record because he went to a smaller program, mm-hmm. and he does have a lot of those issues, and we don't know his command of the playbook or of an offense. I think of those situations like last year with Houston, right? Mm-hmm. When we were talking ourselves into, oh, it's not going to be Deshaun Watson
Tom who's Savage.
The starter. Yeah, it's going to be Tom Savage. He's got command of the playbook, and he knows this offense, and we don't need to rush Deshaun Watson. Well, guess what? A couple weeks in, Deshaun Watson looks way better. Yeah. Same thing in Chicago, where it was like, Mike Glennon. Let's give Mike Glennon $12 million because we need a stopgap situation. We don't want to rush Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. We don't have to throw him into the fire right away. Guess what? A couple weeks in, let's go to Mitch Trubisky. Let's see what he's got. Like I feel like we're finding out more and more that these quarterbacks are getting they're further along coming to college than they used to be.
I mean, that's fine, but like the pressure's real. So like just because they could have played Watson earlier or they could have played Trubisky earlier doesn't mean they necessarily should have, because the pressure of not having a Glennon or not having a Savage on the roster is real. Not everybody's expecting Watson to be the guy from day one. Not everyone's expecting Trubisky to be the guy from day one. And that's a little different thing mentally for a guy. When you have a rookie quarterback, you got to protect their mental state as well. And I am all for protecting rookie quarterbacks because you make such an investment in the position, especially with the picks that you surrender to do it. Doing it any other way is a little careless in my opinion.
So Shaq Griffin is one of the great storylines in this league. First of all, that he even got drafted, that he ends up playing with his brother in Seattle, makes his preseason debut yesterday. And people who are not aware, he's a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks who has only one hand. 9 tackles in his debut. I just said it's a great story. Shouldn't it even be a bigger story, Therese?
I think it's an awesome story. And I think once we get to the regular season and he's doing that in the games that matter, I think that's when everyone's going to really pay attention to it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a Jim Abbott situation, man. Jim Abbott was pitching in the major leagues with one hand. That's crazy. Every once in a while in sports, they provide some sort of story like this that teaches you the importance of persistence. And I think you can make a real case that, you know, when it's all said and done, we can look at Shaq Griffin as the NFL's version of Jim Abbott, a story of persistence, a story of somebody who inspired a lot of people with an inherent disadvantage to continue to strive for their dreams. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun watching him yesterday. And there doesn't seem to be, like, everyone was talking about how, like, what is he going to do when he has to wrap up with two hands and you need to be able to stop an NFL player? And again, I know that a lot of these guys, this isn't a regular season game, but I was impressed with how just his ball hawking abilities or his tackling abilities. He got into the backfield for one. There was nobody. I don't think he had a broken tackle against him in the entire game. And while I still wonder about the liabilities and coverage, he sure looked pretty solid in the run game yesterday. So, yeah, I'm really excited for him. Darius Geis complains about not getting enough reps, and it turns out that he's got a torn ACL already, and I wonder how big a blow this is for a Washington team that you could have actually talked me into being a borderline playoff team this season, or you still can.
Yeah, it's not ideal, right? Geis is a big, strong back who can run, and I think for a quarterback like Alex Smith, that's what you need to get him, right? What I will say this is I saw Alex Smith win a lot of games in Kansas City with a backfield that included Spencer Ware, a thumper, and Sharkhandrick West, who's like a scat back, third down back type. And they actually do kind of have that with Samaje Perine as the thumper and Chris Thompson as a third down back. Their problem is Thompson's banged up. So I actually believe in Alex Smith's ability to win at least 9 games because he doesn't make mistakes. As long as they get him what he needs, as long as they get him a running back duel that can do those two things, I actually think they'll be okay. But whether they can do it, that's up for debate.